Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the presentation Q2 Report 2021. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Thomas Widstrand. Thank you. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and very welcome to this presentation of Troax Group second quarter financial result or presentation. I think most of you are used to this kind of presentation. Nevertheless, I will inform you then that you can find this the template that I will work from. You can find it on the troax.com homepage or webpage, and you will find it then under Investors, and then you find then the presentation for Q2. If you don't have it, you will be able to follow, I think, what I'm saying in any case, because I will follow then my usual presentation, which means we will go through a number of the figures, and I'll try to comment some things which have influenced and positively or negatively then our development, especially in the second quarter. To start then with Troax, I guess that most of you, as I said, are well acquainted with Troax, but as you know, we try to stay safe, and that's what I'm starting with, and we try to set that our customers are safe. And that's really our business idea. Just quickly to go through a little bit of the background. We are working in three different, what we call segments, and the biggest one is called machine guarding. As you see from the picture, it shows then obviously what we are doing. We are protecting people and from dangerous objects, in this case, robots, who are working along a manufacturing line for cars. This is approximately 65% of our turnover. If you take the next page, it's called warehouse partitioning. It's approximately 21% of our turnover. As you can see from the picture, we're talking then about dividers or guarding them, protecting them, for instance, what you have on the shelves from falling down on people who are perhaps working in the aisles or people who are working in the forklift trucks. I think that's rather self-explanatory. The third and the smallest segment that we work with, nevertheless very important, it's what we call storage solutions or property protection. It's primarily, I would say, Northern Europe segment. It's approximately 14% of our turnover. As you can see, it's not so much about protecting the people. It's more about protecting, of course, what you tend to have in your storage area, like skis or bicycles or whatever you got, and to protect that from burglary, at least within a reasonable amount of effort. If you go to the next page, we actually have something which is a mix between machine guarding and the warehouse part, and we call it automated warehouse then, surprisingly enough, where you can see then that we are focused then on, as the word implies, automated warehouses, which is growing substantially at this moment and has been doing so for several years now, actually. That's, of course, something which we are profiting from. As you see from the picture, it's basically then a warehouse, but it's, of course, automated to a major extent. You have long lines of aisles who are then picked, or the goods that are on these aisles or on these shelves are picked, of course, then by some sort of robot or some sort of machine, which is collecting then the items and put that to place then where someone probably manually or automatically puts it on a car, and then brings it on to a distributor or retail market or whatever. This is something which then is growing very much, and I will come back to that a little bit later. Next page shows the year in brief from 2020. I think I can skip that for you, those of you interested. You've seen then the development of 2020, which a little bit was a difficult year of obvious reasons with the COVID, and you see also the split up then of the sales per region, but I think you can read that for yourself if you are interested in. And we also have next page where you see also the year in brief, where we say then that we are the global leader of the indoor perimeters protection. We're approximately 2.5 times larger than number two player. We are a growth company, even if of course 2020 was difficult to grow. We are approximately 2.5 times as that bigger, present in 42 countries. And historically, we've had a growth of let's say 8-9% organically, and including some few acquisitions that have been made, then the growth per year has been 11-12 years. Going to the next page, I talk a little bit about financial targets. And we don't, as regards the first one, which is called sales growth, we don't really say exactly what our target is, but we definitely aim to grow more than the market is growing. And over a business cycle, our estimate is that the market is growing with some 4-6% per year. And that means, of course, we should grow more, which we have done, as I said before, historically done. So then coming back to what we did now for the first half year, here, I would say that we've been growing substantially. So we've been actually having a very good second quarter, and I will come back to that. So organically, we've been growing 40%, and we then had the acquisition that we did 1st of November in Poland called Natom Logistics. Then that has added another 90%. So in total, we've been growing, you know, with some 60% or so compared to last year, which nevertheless was negatively influenced by the COVID. So you have to take this, that these, you know, high percentage figures are, of course, positively influenced by this rather easy comparison. When you go to profitability, we should be on 20% on EBITDA margin, and due, of course, mainly to good volume and good cost control and good utilization of the factories. We are now actually exceeding this for the first half year, so we're up to 21.6%, which is then, so far, I would say, a good figure. Regarding the capital structure, which is the third target that we have, we are saying now that the net debt in relation to EBITDA should not exceed 2.5 times, and we are clearly below that, so we are 1.2. I think we paid a dividend in May, June, so it's a good figure, I would say, showing them that we both have good possibilities for further acquisition should such occasion arise, and of course also to do further investments with, in other activities if we should like to do so. Dividend is not relevant. Normally we have the target to pay out 50%, and as we've paid out this for this year, I will have to come back to that next year when it becomes relevant again. Right, then we come to some summary of Q2, and I will do that in some sort of summarized way, but you can say then that the Q2 of 2021 continued with a very strong, I would say, order trend. We started basically in Q1, towards the end of Q1. We could see some signs of it already towards the end of Q4 last year, when we were returning then from this difficult COVID period with somewhat, I wouldn't say normal situation, but at least just a better situation than it was previously during 2020. And I think there is a certain effect then of what I call a catch-up effect, and in the very good figures of Q2. We cannot really estimate how big it is. Of course, the market has been very good, and as I said, there is a certain element of this catch-up effect. But basically, I would say that Q2 is characterized then by a good demand from customers, more or less in all parts of the world, in all parts of our different segments. And then on top of that, we probably had some sort of effect, and as I said, of this catch-up effect coming from projects which have been delayed and because of the COVID. Nevertheless, we have seen then, as we write in this summary, that the demand has been, I would say, especially strong then, of course, with automated warehouse, which is continuing the very positive trend from before. But also machine guarding has been improving during second quarter, I think I wrote somewhere and that the automotive has started to be more active. And not saying that it's fantastic because it's far from that, but we clearly see then that the automotive activity was much stronger in the second quarter compared with the previous half year, and that's a good sign. So because of them, we had very good order intake in the second quarter. We had a quite good also in the first quarter, or at least a decent one. That, of course, was turned in to a major extent into sales during the second quarter. So that means, of course, then that if you get good sales levels, you invoice a lot and you manufacture a lot. This was, of course, creating then a good result. So if you look at the result, which we will do in a second, basically then for the quarter, the operating profit has more than doubled for the quarter. And if you look at the first 6 months, it's basically we have doubled the result, and which is a very strong development. And we aren't used to having those kind of growth figures, actually. So the earnings per share are actually then more than double. So going from 8 cents in euros last year to 0.19 this quarter. Just a few words on the working capital. It's on the expected level. Inventory is still high. Due to that, we've done some precautions, as we say, in connection with the corona effects. And we intend to keep it like that until we see that things are really stabilizing. And we think that at the end of the year, we'll still be about some turbulence with deliveries of steel, and especially, of course, on prices. So I think we intend to keep it on this level. Otherwise, we have a stable working capital. I think nothing which otherwise is worth really mentioning. So because of the good sales level, which I touched upon before, I also said then briefly that all the manufacturing units have had a very good development in Q2 with very good volumes. And despite the fact then that the steel prices continue to be, as I call it, turbulent, meaning going up so substantially, we have been able to, I would say, basically to compensate that. There are some delays in the price increase because the steel price has been gone up so considerably in a very short time. But nevertheless, I would say that we have, on the whole, been able to have this in a good way in cooperation with our customer, because obviously we don't want them to suffer more than what is really necessary. So I think we've had a good dialogue with most of our customers, but nevertheless, they have been increased the prices. Going to our acquisition, Natom in Poland, outside of Poznan, they've had continued to have a very good development also in the second quarter, and especially then with good inflow orders coming from the warehouse segment. And this is where they are, so that's nothing strange with that. But that, if anything, they've been even stronger, I would say, in quarter two than in quarter one. So far, we're quite pleased with our development. And obviously, this has also been turned into good sales and also a decent result. So we are, as I said, quite pleased with it so far. We are working with a new facility where we intend to merge the two factories which are existing today into one. And the first factory, or at least the start of the first factory, will be starting to be transferred now in the fourth quarter, moving into a bit, I think, into 2022. And then we take the next one a little bit later in 2022, depending then a little bit when we can get the proper electricity into the site. We have also then, as we have informed separately, purchased on the guarding activities referring to aluminum from ABB, the product name for them is QuickGuard, and we purchased that on 1st of July, and there's been some transfer now of machines during the summer period, so we do intend now to start, let's say, manufacturing and deliveries from 1st of September. We already got some orders from ABB customers, we will see how quickly we can take this up, but I think we will be prepared to start, you know, working with this in an operational level from 1st of September. Going to the next page, We talked then about the financial highlights, and in summary, I already touched upon them, that the results were substantially improved. And if you go through the 3 months period, you see that's a substantial increase in order intake. I will, within a second, share with you then where this comes from, and more or less the same is valid for the sales. Gross profit then has been more or less almost double, even if the margin has slightly decreased. Already talked about the operating profit and the margin. So the operating margin is, and as I said, cumulative for the 6 months. If you look a little bit to the middle of the page there, January to June, it's 21.6%, and it was 22.8%. And for the last quarter, it's a good figure, and we're actually quite pleased with that. And that means also that the earnings per share for the first 6 months are 0.33, so it's a more or less a doubling then, of course, compared with last year. Then we come to the next page, where I think we're mentioning that this is some sort of regional development in order intake and sales, and this is quite interesting because you can see both in the order side and on the sales side that we have rather strong figures than in all regions. And I would say that partly that's the fact then of the projects we've been doing, which has been coming in and on a rather high level, but also, which maybe is even more encouraging, than that the small and medium customer, which previously has been on a rather low level during the corona situation, they seem to have come back now even more or less in a full-fledged way, so that things are, if not back to normal, so at least from a figure point of view, it looks like it's rather normal. If we really point out something, I would say then that is a very strong order intake, I would say, in continental Europe, obviously some sort of catch-up effect there, but very strong. And of course, if you go to North America, you see that this kind of quarter is very strong. But the figure, of course, was last year negatively influenced, of course, by the COVID. So this percentage figure there is, I would say, is a bit on the too high side. New markets also relatively good, so totally approximately 59-60%. And then plus the acquisitions, 27, you come to 84%. If you then look at the same figures for the first half year, you see then that what I talked about before, again, clearly we've been growing with, let's call it 40%, including some currency effects, and then some acquisitions, so in total, roughly 60%. On the sales side, you see similar development, but also the things which is maybe a little bit deviating there is that you see, of course, that North America is doing very well. The United Kingdom is also invoicing quite much, and they had a lot of intake in the first quarter, which, of course, manifests itself in a higher sales invoice during this quarter. So quite a strong development, I would say, all regions, even, of course, that a few of them have higher figures than the rest, but some of those are not as mature as the other one, which you also have to take into consideration. So totally then, we have invoiced after 6 months, 122 million. And if you take that to the rolling figure of 12 months, which you see to the right on that picture, you see then that it's on the sales side, 209 million euros, and on the other side, 230. So obviously, if this continues, we're going to make a substantial increase then in the volume and activity level compared with 2020. Go to the next page, so which tend to be some sort of conclusion. And we have just this quarter, as previous quarters, we have received several main orders of different segments, but of course, the really more bigger ones are within automated warehouse and machine guarding, and we're very pleased with that. And we see both that there is some sort of catch-up effect, even if we can't just guess how much that is. We also see then that the smaller and medium-sized customers have come back now. Hopefully that will continue. So it means that there was an all-time high development in result in this quarter, which was reflecting, of course, the order and sales levels and good utilization of the manufacturing units in the group. Going to the United States, Bolt Trucks Inc., which is the trucks part and Folmer, are continuing to develop well and show a continued improved result. And then I would say Special Trucks Inc. is growing substantially and is probably then approaching Folmer, I would say, as regards to size, if this continues. All factories continue to develop well. There's a continued turbulence with steel price. We don't think that the increase of steel price will continue in the third quarter. Maybe there will be a leveling out on the fourth quarter, and hopefully we can see some stabilization. Maybe some tendency of going down during the earliest first quarter next year, but we are calculating with and taking measures that the steel price will continue to be very turbulent in the remaining part of the year. Integration of Natom was continuing and done in a good way, so we don't see any major problems there. So in total, a good development with a substantially better result, even if, of course, when you compare with the same quarter last year, as I said, it is, of course, negatively influenced by COVID. For the rest, we have some comments normally regarding growth factors. I won't go through that in detail because they don't change from quarter to quarter. But one thing I could touch upon, that is that the item two, or the what is called here onshoring or manufacturing, which we have seen for, I would say, many years, but maybe have not had a big influence. But I do think that that will have a bigger influence now, because we do see, of course, that customers of ours are thinking and realizing then that to have many sub-suppliers in China could create the problems. The lead times are very long. And, of course, especially now, all of them, and you have also seen that the freight prices are extremely high. So that's taking, of course, away some of the benefit of producing there. So I'm personally convinced that the onshoring or manufacturing will increase in Europe and in North America compared with before. Otherwise, what's driving the growth for us is still increased industrial automation. And again, if anything has happened after COVID, this is positive as regards automation, because it will continue. And the same goes for e-commerce, which, if anything, again, is also taking a new step based on, of course, that we as consumers have learned to shop online in a much bigger quantity or much bigger way than we did before. Next page shows the estimation of us as the market leader. We don't think that the market has changed so much between 2018 and 2019. We will, I think, do a new analysis now towards the end of the year, so that we can take into account both the rather strange year of 2020, where obviously the market went down, and now the very positive so far 6 months, which where the market seems to come back to the old levels. Next page shows a little bit of our competitive situation. It's our assessment. It's no external company doing this, so you have to realize it's our best assessment of the competitive situation. And then moving into the next page, which is our production units, and we added them in Poland last year, where we then have a capacity of some 500,000 or something like that, and we do intend to increase this capacity as time goes by. Next page shows then the different brands that we're working with, and in some cases then people are very happy with Roark, in some other cases with some other brands, and we do intend to continue to work with this, because they have different product ranges, different product qualities, and also different distribution channels. Now, moving into a little bit of what we call a safer tomorrow, which obviously we've been doing since 1955. We, of course, work a lot with sustainability. I don't think any company cannot work a lot with that today. And we work a lot then with, which I've said before, not only climate compensating problem, rather than transportation, which is the classical one, even if it's not solving perhaps the issue. We work a lot with the energy consumption. We have regional manufacturing, which decreases transportation and et cetera. We try to work with, of course, with the ISO 14000, try to minimize use of plastic products. And then we have a lot of a good point, which is that 99% or maybe even higher, it's recyclable steel, and minimum 30%, and we will probably change that to a higher figure. Which is our aim then, to have recycled steel in our products. And that, of course, is the main, let's call it, problem in when we analyze then the CO2 content that we are, let's say, giving away to the environment that's coming from the purchase of steel. So if we can either help the steel mills or at least buy recyclable steel in to bigger quantities, then of course that will help sustainability for us in a major way. That's much more important actually than what we're doing in our own factories, even if we shouldn't of course in any way neglect what we are doing, which also have of course an effect on our environment. Right, next page, to access the centers where we will do a lot of development work. We also, as you see from the next page, are certified by TÜV Rheinland, which of course I normally say it's very good, because that does mean then that the customer not only have to trust, you know, that Troax has blue eyes and stands for everything, but actually we have someone who is certifying us and keeping an eye on us, which I think is very good from a customer point of view. So in essence, you see here on the next page, this is our main factory in Hillerstorp, but we have, as you saw from the other pictures before, a number of factories now all over the world, more or less. And our aim is, of course, to protect people, property, and processes. And being the original since 1955, we think that we are best suited to continue to do that. And just to end my little presentation, our aim is, of course, and to protect what matters. Obviously, that's the family. So we want to help all companies to protect and the people who are working in the organization, so obviously they come home safely when they shift or the working hours are over. That's what we aim for. So with this, I end my little presentation, and I hope I will, as usual, get some very good questions, and I will do my best to answer. So please go ahead. I'm listening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. And if you wish to cancel your request, you can press the hash key. Once again, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. And your question comes from the line of Kenneth Toll from Carnegie. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you. So I'm impressed by the growth you showed. And I remember that you put quite a lot of money into expanding your production capacity, both in the U.S. and the major plants in Europe.
Kenneth, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I hear you very bad. That seems to be some sort of problem.
Okay. Is it better now?
Yes, it's better now, Kenneth.
Okay, great. So, so you invested a lot in production capacity a few years ago, but now your growth is very, very strong. So I was wondering, are you getting close to full capacity utilization? And in that case, how quickly can you expand production capacity more?
Good question, Kenneth. No, we still have the machine capacity at least available, especially I would say both in Hillerstorp and in Italy, because there we made some rather substantial investment in the last, let's call it, 5 years. So we still have some machine capacity over. So we don't short-term need to, you know, rush away and do imminent investments to cover this, even, of course, that because of the very good volume development, that the slack in machine capacity is, of course, eaten up to a certain extent, which, of course, is very good and we're very happy with. But the problem from a machine capacity is actually our newly acquired business in Poland, Natom, where this demand coming from automated warehouse makes them that they actually have have to turn away some orders where we are in the process of investing more. But these investments will not come into process due to deliveries of machines until earliest end of this year. So there will be, unfortunately, a bit of a deficit then in that part. But the, let's call it the ordinary Troax part, does not suffer short term from any problems with machine capacity.
Okay, great. And then on steel prices, you talked a little bit about sharp increases and that it might affect your margins going forward. But I expected it would have affected your earnings already in the second quarter. So, and you are raising prices. So do you think that the net effect between your own price increases and higher steel costs will be a larger negative in the third quarter than it was in the second quarter?
Depends, of course, how they do it. What we know today, Kenneth, I think it will be some sort of similar situation. So hopefully we can compensate to what they intend to do in the third quarter in a similar way. So that's how we see it. But we will see the effect when we talk again then in October. But so far, the information we've got, I think we can handle this situation.
Okay. And finally, so last year, of course, you were negatively affected by the COVID-19, but there might have been some costs that have also been a bit lower, such as traveling costs and costs for trade fairs and so on.
Correct.
So
yes.
Yeah. So do you think that those kind of costs are increasing in the second half of this year already, or are you staying cautious until next year?
No, you're right, Kenneth. That's an obvious conclusion. That costs will be slightly higher during second half of this year. Not perhaps so that we will do a lot of exhibitions or so, because those won't come back until next year. But the traveling will restart and some other costs will come back, so they will be a little bit higher. And because of the volume increase, I would say in general, we have to strengthen the organization in certain cases. We are actually then pushing the organization right now with the present volume a little bit too high, I would say. So we have to do some increases here and there, which of course will have some influence on costs compared to what you see now during the second quarter at least.
And that also goes for salespeople. Are you adding salespeople?
Yes, we are adding salespeople, correct.
And finally, the capacity utilization, as I understood it, it's quite evenly spread between the different plants you have and so on. Is that true?
It was at least true. It has changed a little bit now, I would say, in the last 3-4 months. So as I told you then, that there's overcapacity still possibility in Hillerstorp and Italy, whereas following on due to the increased demand in the last only 2 quarters, they are a little bit struggling with capacity problems, some bottlenecks, not maybe generally, but some bottlenecks. And as I said, Natom is really up to having no excess capacity, basically.
And that should mean that profitability for the folding guard operation should be better now, maybe even satisfactory.
Yes. Yeah. Correct, yes. The good utilization there, of course, helps in the profitability. You're absolutely right, Kent.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's all for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, for the participants over the phone line, please press *1 if you wish to ask a question. And your next question comes from the line of Adolfi Baradberid from Danske Bank. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello. Thank you, Thomas, and good afternoon. Just the first question will be on your comment regarding the catch-up effect on order intake. And for me, it's hard to understand, so I need a little bit more color on it because you had, of course, a type of order intake before the COVID between 40 and, I would say, a big picture, 40, 45 million, and then two quarters with something like 38. And since Q4, almost 60 million in order intake. So why should we still be in a catch-up effect? For me, it's already done. Or you still see that?
Yes. It's also a good question. I think clearly that there is some sort of catch-up effect because not only we have seen that the small and medium-sized customers have come back during second quarter, and they brought with them a number of, of course, maybe not spectacular orders, but nevertheless a number of smaller orders, which obviously has been, you know, put on ice then since last year or maybe even earlier. And I think there is a certain effect of that, even if, as I said, it's difficult for us to assess how big it is. So even if I can't give you a figure, I would still say then that maybe the second quarter figure is slightly on the positive side because of this, but the underlying market is very good, so it's not so that it is, we're not talking, you know, about 30-40% or so, but we are talking about some sort of effect which we estimate is a catch-up effect.
And in terms of competition, do you see the competitors are growing as quickly as you, or are you taking market share because of the COVID situation when it was difficult to deliver on time and these type of things?
We think, but this is our own estimate, that we took market share both last year because of what you explained, Adolfo. But this year we've clearly been taking, of course, market share because we've been profiting from these bigger projects where there's not been so many of those out in the market. So obviously we've been growing them more than most of our competitors. I think that's a fair fact.
Okay. And my last question will be in terms of mix, because you are saying that these small clients are coming back. You're giving a positive comment on automotive. I know from the past that you were saying that small clients are always very very positive in terms of margin effect. What can you say about the automotive sector? Is it still very competitive or less
Automotive is always competitive. I would say that at least for the first part of this year, if anything, they were even more competitive because they were struggling, I think, with cash restraints or liquidity restraints. And we felt that that was even tougher with pricing than in automotive than before. And perhaps now that things are getting back, if not to normal, so at least some sort of positive development, this will then also normalize and perhaps not become that price sensitive as it was in the beginning of this year. So, but it's been a bit tough, I would say, this year, price-wise, and maybe there will be some slight improvements during second half year, because then it's a more positive situation for them as companies.
And then maybe last question on M&A. So you did two great acquisitions lately, and still a strong balance sheet. Are you still looking at some bigger target in APAC, or do you see that there is some competitor who are growing and becoming bigger, and that might be very interesting for you to buy them, or is it still a very fragmented market and?
APAC is still a very fragmented market. There are no big competitors at all that you can buy because they don't exist. But there are a number of smaller ones, I would say 3, 4, 5 of them, which we are interested in. And hopefully we can, you know, get our hands on one or two over time. As regards to the more mature markets in Europe and the United States or North America, we are indeed, of course, always interested to make acquisitions as long as that they are right, so to speak, from the strategical point of view. If something comes up, we are clearly interested. When something comes up, it could take 2-3 years before something really matures, but we are clearly interested. So if anyone out there is interested to sell a good company within safety fences, we are really interested. That's our conclusion.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's all for me. Thank you very much, Thomas.
Thank you, Alpha.
Bye.
Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of John Hiltner from Enter. Your line is now open.
Hello, Thomas. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you, Alan. Nice to talk to
Super.
You.
Nice to talk to you as well. First time in a while you said something positive about the auto industry. Can you elaborate a little bit more? What do you see in terms of bigger projects? Because we've seen a lot of new car models coming out, but not really big investments in your field. Are those about to come now with all the new models that we see on the market?
I think, generally speaking, as far as I can understand, the financial situation and this problem which were last year with a lot of layoffs and then what have you in that type of market has stabilized now. So I think they look more positively to the future, and that of course have a healthy impact also on small supply like us, which nevertheless have a certain impact on the safety side for their investments. So we have seen and that there is it started and a positive trend with automotive in North America, and then it came also a bit back in the second quarter now in Europe. We have not seen so much in APAC or the Far East yet, so we can see that it's coming in different phases. But we do clearly see then that more and more, at least question, is coming up regarding this kind of safety issues in the investment that are doing. So I would expect maybe not a straight line in post in automotive, but I would expect that it is growing now step by step, but probably a little bit slow, not any really big increases. And it's based on, of course, on that their financial situation and general situation has been stabilized. They probably know much better how to handle the different product segments, I mean hybrids and electrical cars and diesels and what have you. And of course, they also need to do a lot and based on the explosion or what you might call it, on the demand for electrical cars, which of course they need to invest a lot in. So I have been a little bit surprised before that the obvious output of electrical cars did not manifest itself in a higher interest in all types of fencing, but it seems to come now, but it was a bit slower than I at least expected.
But have you seen any changes that perhaps they are better in reusing fences and or maybe adapting the production line so that they don't have...
We haven't seen that,
John. Okay.
Yeah, we haven't seen that. It is still so... I don't think that's changed, that the investment they do in our types of fences, to be frank, it's such a small part of the total capital they do. I don't think they put in a lot of effort to take that apart and clean it and put it back and then buy some additional parts and what have you. They will buy that from either us in complete package or from their sub-supplier, their machine supplier, which supplies the line that they are installing. And they will buy that finish because they need to get the line operating in such a short time and they don't have the capacity to do a lot of these small changes which are necessary.
Okay. Good. And finally, around what share of sales goes to automotive during this first half of 21?
I used to say that last year was 10-15%, so it was on the low side. I haven't calculated yet on what the first half year will be. It was rather low for the first quarter and higher for the second quarter. So I would say that probably we are coming closer now to 15% of the turnover, which is related to automotive.
All right. Interesting. Well, thank you very much, Thomas.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, for the participants over the phone line, please press *1 if you wish to ask a question. Still no further questions that came through, sir. Please continue.
Mm-hmm. Then I thank you very much for your interest and for your attention. I appreciate it very, very much, and of course also the question. I look forward to talk to you again then in, what is it, the end of October, something like this, or maybe beginning of November, when we are then displaying our third quarter result, which of course will be interesting if this good trend continues or not. We will certainly then do our best to fulfill the expectations. Thank you very much for listening, and see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.